good evening, and welcome to another Thursday night edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Great to have you along. Gotta love our Sport Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank. Gus, the upcoming sports schedule, we're still packing it in, even though the weeks of basketball are beginning to wane a little bit. Tomorrow night, we're going to be in Effingham, Kansas, where it'll be Valley Falls at ACCHS. Saturday, I can't even get over this yet. I talked to Coach at the end of last night's game. The Ravens have an open date on Saturday. So we will be back with high school hoops Monday, Valley Falls and MHMA. Tuesday, Atchison Highland Park. Wednesday, Benedictine at Park. So there you have it. Loaded up, tons of fun stuff, and we need to start talking about a little high school basketball. Here's what you got. You got teams who are playing crazy schedules right now. We had the game with MHMA and Oskaloosa the other night. I'm talking to Coach Lane before the game. I'm saying, Coach, how's it going? He says, I don't even know how we're going to manage this. He said, we have got, because of weather, okay, you take a day off, you have, you know, you get a little snow, something, you can't make the trip. So the game gets postponed. But you got to make it up. They are playing four games this week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, okay? So it is tough at make-up time, and they're not the only team. There are a lot of teams doing that.
Yeah, and I think for some teams that have decided to make them up, there are some teams I also think that have decided, hey, my team's going to need a little rest going into the sub-states here in a few weeks, and you know, if we make the state tournament, we'll just take that penalty of not having enough games and let the chips fall where they might. And yeah, I think that's one of those things, though. This time of the year, you start to see teams just trying to pack games in and try to get some games added to that total as we come up here on the end of the season.
Yeah, so tonight around the area, there are a few games going on. With in the Big 7, you got Sevetha going to Perry LeCompton. And in the NEKL, you've got JCN at McLeod tonight, and you've got Pleasant Ridge at Oskaloosa. Then, of course, wrestling tonight, you got Holton is out at Wamego. And then you move on to Friday night, and it is that full slate that we've grown accustomed to. And, gosh, you got Holton going to Hiawatha, Sevetha, Jeff West, Perry, Nemaha, Royal Valley, stepping out of the conference, going down to see the guys down at Baldwin. And then in the NEKL, how about Valley Falls at ACCHS, the game we're going to have here. Pleasant Ridge at Horton. MHMA goes to Jackson Heights. McLeod, Oskaloosa, there's that fourth game in like 5 days. And so away we go here in the middle of February already.
Yeah, you start taking a look now at league standings, because I know we're at the point of sub-states, but we don't talk much about the league standings. And starting on the girls' side of the Northeast Kansas League right now, out on top, you're going to find Moore Hill Mount Academy at 11-0 in league play, JCN at 9-2, Pleasant Ridge at 7-3, followed by Valley Falls, Jackson Heights, ACCHS, Oskaloosa. Then rounding it out, you're going to find Horton and McLeod. On the guys' side of the Northeast Kansas League, sounds a little familiar at the top, right? Moore Hill Mount Academy out on top. They are 9-2 in league play. Jackson Heights right there at 8-2. Horton at 8-3. JCN at 7-4. Valley Falls at 6-4. So there's, you know, a lot of time left to make up some of these games, especially with how much these teams are playing right now. You're going to see Oskaloosa, Pleasant Ridge, McLeod, and ACCHS round out that Northeast Kansas League on the guys' side. Now you start to turn your attention to sub-states, and for sub-state action, let's just start at Class 4A. Start with the ladies first. For Atchison, the Phoenix find themselves 7-6 and kind of right in the middle. 2, 4, 6, 8. Yeah, they're 9. Right now they find themselves in 9th place out of that. So again, you'll start bunching those up a little closer, but right now they're 7-6. The team in front of them, Baldwin, at 9-6. The team behind them is Independence at 8-7. the leaders right now, fine, Fort Scott 1, Wamego 2, Shawnee, oh, yeah, Bishop Miege is 3. So.
Now, my question for you has to become, you know, we've got movement in the conferences, teams are bouncing around anymore, kind of like college football. You don't even know what team or what conference teams are going to be belonging to. And in those conferences, you've got multi-divisional teams. You've got, you know, some 2A teams or 3A teams or 4A teams. They're not all even in the same Kasha classification. How important is the conference championship? Is it still a big deal for the kids, for the teams, for the schools? Or is it all focused on sub-state and postseason?
You know, I mean, every school is going to, you know, hang that banner and get that T-shirt. But I think in the grand scheme of things that, yeah, you're looking at that sub-state champions. You know, state appearances are a big deal. You know, I mean, state champions are huge, but state appearances are still a big deal. So, yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, league is probably more important to, you know, the actual players and being able to have that shirt and have that accomplishment of being league champs.
Yeah, and again, those conferences still up in the air a little bit. Now, in wrestling, though, the NEKL actually had, for the first time ever, a conference tournament, wrestling tournament, okay? And the ACCHS boys continue their season, and Monday night they won the NEKL league tournament, 75 points, which, you know, if you know anything about wrestling numbers, and I don't a lot, but I would tell you 75 is quite a few. Second place team was Pleasant Ridge with 57. MHMA had 53.5. And third place, McLeod 37, Oskaloosa 5th 19. So the Tigers continue to have just a splendid year.
Yeah, Tiger Wrestling finds themselves in a really good spot.
And speaking of the Tigers, we're going to be out there, and I saw one of the head Tigers, one of the lead Tigers last night, is Andrew Eckert had brought the ACCHS girls team up to Benedictine to watch the Lady Ravens last night. Love seeing that when the coaches bring their high school teams and, you know, give them a chance to see what basketball is like maybe at another level, and it was good to see him and them up there last evening.
Yeah, you talk about the ACCHS girls. They're going to find themselves in that 3A sub-state at Royal Valley, and right now they find themselves kind of in the they find themselves kind of in the middle of that heap right now in that Royal Valley sub-state. Flip it back over. Out on top of that sub-state, you're going to find Hayden at 13-2. They are the number one seed. They will be the number one seed. There's no changing that because the second place team is Jeff West at 6-10, followed by Perry LeCompton at 5-9, Royal Valley at 5-11, ACCHS at 4-9. So the Lady Tigers have a shot to flip that over and get up to, you know, they could do a little damage right here, right? They could actually get all the way up to second. With some good weeks here. You've got Hiawatha Sabetha is second to the bottom, and then Bishop Ward rounding out that Class 3A girls at Hoyt. The Class 3A boys that are going to be at Royal Valley. Sabetha, out on top, hot on their heels, is Perry LeCompton. So you've got 13-2 for Sabetha, 12-3 for Perry LeCompton. Then you're dropping down to Ward at 3, Hiawatha at 4, Jeff West at 5, Hayden at 6, Royal Valley at 7, and right now ACCHS, you know, looking to either get Sabetha or Perry probably in that first round game. Which, again, we talk about, you're just a couple weeks away from us being at that sub-state time.
Yeah. Hey, we've also got to talk about Beatrice and Phoenix. They continue to play well. We're going to see a huge game coming up on Care Radio. It's going to be the Phoenix in Highland Park in Topeka coming up next week on Tuesday. And we've been talking about how many games teams have been playing. The Phoenix, they've got their schedule totally jammed up. Tonight, they're going to be playing Harmon. Then tomorrow, they've got KC Washington. And then Tuesday, they go down to Highland Park in a matchup between two of the top teams in the state of Kansas, 1-4A, 1-5A. I can't wait to get down to that ballgame. It's going to be great fun.
Well, right now, Atchison finds themselves on a bit of a road trip, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 road trips in a row. Then they're going to finish with 2 home games, right? They were at Wyandotte. They're going to be at Harmon, at Washington, at Highland Park, at LeBec County. Then they're going to finish up on the 20th and 23rd with Washington and Schlegel. So, again, it's been a long road trip right now for Atchison, but they find themselves out on top of Class 4A at 13-1. Second place finds Rock Creek at 13-2, and Baldwin at 12-3. Chanute at 12-3 are the 3-4 teams.
Yeah, there's a pretty good basketball going on out there. So, bottom line, check those schedules. If there's a game going on, we'll have one of them on here on Care Radio every night. Go to mscsports.net and check your schedule. Get out and see that team that you're following, okay? Taking a quick break. We'll be back. Sports Look's rolling along right after this. Good to have you back with us here this afternoon and into the evening here on Sports Look. And last night, Gus, up in the Nola Gymnasium, Benedictine hosted Mid-America. And there's just something, okay? There's something about the Pioneers. They have the Ravens number, it feels like, here lately. And they took two more wins up there last night against BC.
Yeah, in Mid-America, in the girls game, the first quarter, Benedictine jumped out 22-21. It was a good quarter. You led. But in the second quarter, it's usually been the third quarter this year for the Lady Ravens. If they're going to fall behind a little bit, it's that coming out of the locker room. But for them, last night up in the Nolan, it was that second quarter where they got outscored 26-12 in the second. And then it was just an uphill battle. They made it close there in the fourth quarter. What, was Jennifer knocking down three threes? And Benedictine was able to get back close, but at the end of the day, Mid-America able to come away with a victory in the Nolan. You always jump in closer games to free throws and say, how'd those free throws match up? Pretty well, right? Benedictine hit all 11 of their free throw attempts. Mid-America didn't do too shabby themselves, hitting 10 of their 13 for 77%. Benedictine was led last night in scoring by Jennifer with her 19 points. Kennedy Nicholson coming off the bench, adding 13.
Yeah, Ravens with three in double figures. Lauren Dubert getting 11. But Mid-America, you got anytime you put five players in double figure scoring, I mean, that's a pretty strong showing. And for BC, trouble getting anything done in the paint. I didn't look at the in the paint number, but I do look at Kyra ended up the night with 4 points and, you know, Nicole ends up with two, so your fives didn't get you a whole lot in there. What do we got? Points in the paint. They got them for 24, but a lot of those, that's Jennifer Jacobs getting those shots inside too.
Yeah, you know, but for the Lady Ravens last night, the biggest problem came down to getting out-rebounded and then allowing Mid-America 20 second-chance points.
Yeah.
Right? You just can't give up offensive rebounds and let a team, you know, get 20 points as secondary chance. So.
Yeah, and again, you touch on it. You get behind by, what, 47-34 halftime, and now you got that big uphill battle. Tough, tough go, but for Benedictine, a Saturday day off, this is huge, okay, this time of the year. You've only got 4 games left, and to get a day off and get a chance to maybe get some people maybe healthy, certainly give them a minute of rest, that's got to be really beneficial before we head back on the road again.
Yeah, you know, those 4 games left, 2 home, 2 road.
Yep.
The 2 road are barely road games, right? Like, you're going to go to Graceland, which is an easy 2-hour trip. You're going to go to Park, which is maybe an hour, you know. You're home with Mercy and Grandview. So, again, long trips are over. So, you get the break. You get a little bit of a favorable schedule going into the end. But for the ladies, at Park should be no problem. Home with Mount Mercy next Saturday gives you a chance to maybe avenge a loss that happened earlier on in the year. Then you go home with Grandview, who's a team who's looking to give you one back, as Benedictine went up to Des Moines earlier this season and was able to beat Grandview, and then Graceland on what is going to be their last game of the year. So you never know where their heads are going to be in a game like that.
Yeah, last night you look around a conference and there were some interesting games. I don't know if there were any like stunning surprises. Grayson rolls Baker. Grandview, big win over Park. Culver beats Valley by 5. Clark, overtime win over Mount Mercy. Maybe a little bit of a surprise there. And William Penn losing again, this time to Central Methodist by like 18 points. So no real surprises. And when you look, okay, you look at where the standings are. And I never like to say this as a coach. I know you would never say this, but down the stretch these last four games, unless something just like totally crazy happens, it just isn't going to make much difference. Right? Last 2 weeks? I can't imagine. I'm going to be shocked if Benedictine can move up a spot or move down a spot because they're two games out of second. They're two games out of fourth. They're not going to move.
Yeah, I think that you're pretty spot on there. I mean, you would take a meltdown from somebody to really move too much. So, again, I think you're pretty locked into that third spot, kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs were, right? And that worked out well for them.
Yeah, you can get Grandview, and you can get within a game.
Not even knowing that he was at all musical, and he, like, I knew that he could hold a tune.
Right? Lose any other of their last games.
Right. And, you know, Mount Mercy, I mean, even if they went out, they're probably not catching you either.
Probably not catching you.
So I think for me right now, the real interesting one is for like the last handful of spots in the conference tournament, right? 6 through 8.
Yep.
Because you've got Central, Graceland, Valley, Culver, all at 8 and 11. Park and Peru are right there at 7 and 12.
So you got 6 teams within a game of getting into the tournament. 6 teams after 3 spots.
Exactly. Baker and William Penn can go ahead and pack them away right now because it's just not happening for either of those guys, right? I mean, the end of this season is going to be quite interesting, but I think you've got the top 3, you've got the middle 2, and then you've got the field, right?
Yeah.
So, again, should be an interesting finish to this to the end of the season. But for the Lady Ravens, it's a good time to have a week off.
Yep. And again, we're going to take off Saturday with the Ravens. We'll be back with them as BC lacing them back up again next week when we go with them down to Park on Wednesday. Quick break. We'll be back. More on Sports Hook right after this. Last night up in the Nolan Gymnasium, Gus, the Benedictine guys playing hard with Mid-America, battling them, you know, early on, but Pioneers just finally kind of wore them down, winning at 79-65.
Yeah, you look at the final score and you see that, Mid-America won by 14. And you're like, all right, well, that's kind of how that went. I don't know that the final score really told the whole story to that ballgame, right? Because, I mean, midpoint of the second half, Benedictine was within just a couple, right? They were playing really well, hanging tight, but then you just saw that Mid-America, they're a great team, right? They're 19-4, they're 17-2 in the conference. I think Coach Moody talked about it in the post game that he just doesn't think that maybe they'll lose another game this season. He expects them to maybe be kind of in it in the national tournament. They're good. They check a lot of boxes.
Yeah, and remarkably, we can talk about this a little bit. Mid-America is the only team in this conference to be nationally ranked. Okay, does that mean the conference is getting no love? Does that mean the conference is not as strong as it has been? Because usually they're 3, you know, getting in the poll. You got one receiving votes, but, you know, why is the conference getting one team? And they're at 25. They're the last team in.
Yeah, they're a conference that gets 3 teams into the national tournament. Right? So, yeah. It just doesn't matter, I think, is some of it. Because what? You get 3 for being the host tournament, you know.
You get regular season, conference champ, tournament championship, and then a host.
Right? I'm going to tell you, Mid-America belongs in. Baker, maybe. Central Methodist, possibly. Graceland, I mean, okay, but they're only sitting at 17 wins. They're 17-6 right now. And then you draw the line. I mean, so I just think that this is a conference that kind of beats up on itself a little bit. And when conferences are evenly paired up like that, the national people aren't going to give them a whole lot of love because you know why? The national people have a lot of things going on. And so they get this email, they look at it, and they say, okay, boom, boom, boom. And a lot of those guys, now there will be a few of them that sit down and say, okay, now wait, they want a close game, figure that in. A lot of them are just looking at the numbers at the end of the day.
Okay, and if you just look at the numbers, here's what you can see if you want to give it a spin. Less than half of the teams in this conference are 500. Two of them that are above 500 are 10-9. Okay, so you have, four out of 13 teams that have more than 10 wins at this point in the season, and you're 23-4 games in. That's not really, those are not the numbers that pollsters are looking for. They're looking for somebody to kind of knock your socks off. They're not seeing that here.
Yeah, and you start looking at the national poll, you've got, two teams right now in the country, Grace, Indiana, and Langston, Oklahoma, are the last two undefeated teams, right? 20-0, 19-0. But, I mean, you jump down. There is an anomaly in Arizona Christian who finds themselves at 16-5. Mobile, Alabama is 16-5. But the 25th team in the country is Mid-America, and they have four losses. It shows you how hard it is, especially when you just, combined all the divisions and made one big, conglomerate. It's tough. So, I mean, I think that, you lose. You have a bad November. All of a sudden, you're pushing that rock up the hill. December, January, February, March. Yes. And so I think that that's going to be difficult because you do have some conferences that are worse than others. But, when the best team in the Heart of America Athletic Conference is barely in the top 25 at number 25 and they were receiving votes in the poll before, it shows you that it's just tough to get into the top 25 and stay there.
Okay, one last thing, and then we'll move on. But your number two team in the conference is only one game behind them with 16 wins, getting no votes. The third place team, Central Methodist, at least gets a vote or two. But Baker, at 16-4, 18-6 overall, not even getting any kind of attention.
Yeah, and I think some of that comes back to Baker was so strong early, then they kind of let down a little bit for a minute, and they just had a bad week, right? And then all of a sudden, Central Methodist has caught up to him. But this is a conference with, so your four home teams for round one are pretty well set, right? Because Mid-America, Baker, Central Methodist, and Grace. Can't tell you where they're going to exactly fall, other than I can tell you Mid-America is going to be one. I can't tell you 2, 3, and 4, other than I know the teams. I can tell you so far that the teams looking or in the hunt, you've got Culver Stockton, Missouri Valley, Peru, Grandview, Benedictine, Park are, again, six teams for three spots.
Yeah, going to be a battle down the wire to get into that postseason tournament. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back as Sports Look rolling along on a Thursday here on CARE. Because this Sunday, I don't know, what you going to be doing? Got any TV plans or anything that you're going to be watching Sunday evening? There's some reruns, of some Leave It to Beaver episodes that you might want to tune in because they're really, really good.
Well, I've got some gutters that I thought I might just get those.
Well, there's that.
And organize the garage.
Do some yard work.
You know, I think those are kind of some of the things that I might do. You got anything that I should be doing that would be better than that?
Well, yeah, a big Reba fan, so I've got a Reba concert that I'm going to tune in.
Yeah, it's February, so of course the Chiefs are still playing. I mean, that's kind of a given. How about that?
The Kansas City is talking about, they've got guys who, at this point in their career, you have game day routines, right? They got championship game day routines because they've been there so much. It's like, okay, we get the week off, and here's what I do that week, and here's what I do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of game week. I mean, when you're there that often that you are there enough to have a routine, that's just crazy.
A little bit, right? I mean, that's just one of those things where, probably helps you too, right? The 49ers do have a lot of players that have been in this scenario where they were there 4 years ago. And can I also tell you something that made me laugh last night? I should have known this. Never really crossed my mind. I said, wait a second. I wonder who is going to be the white hat for the championship game. Do you know?
I think I saw it.
Bill Vinovich. And you say, okay, I've heard that name before. Bill Vinovich, his last championship game that he officiated, feels all the same. Chiefs 49ers. He was really? The white hat for the last Chiefs 49ers right? Super Bowl. So
4 years ago, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, kind of funny there. Reba is going to do the anthem. I always get a kick out of people talking about, you know, all like the side bets, the prop bets and things like that. You know, the over under on the national anthem. What's going to be the first song of the halftime playlist? You know, is there going to be a celebrity guest involved? I mean, so many crazy things. But I think this should be, at the end of the day, a really good game.
Bottom line, I think that it's going to be. I mean, people talk about the best teams making it to the championship, and I think they have. I think that this year you can clearly, I think, and without any hesitation, say, yeah, here's your two best teams, Kansas City, San Francisco.
2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago when we finally knew what the field was, the Monday after championship weekend, people said, oh, man, the 49ers are going to win this game, right? They've just got a lot of playmakers. They have the better defense. Do you realize as we get closer and closer to the game, all of a sudden people are saying, well, don't sleep on that Kansas City defense. This is the only defense that didn't give up 30 points in a game this year. San Francisco did it, what, they gave up 33 times already this season. Don't sleep on this Kansas City defense. They held some really good offenses in the playoffs to hardly any points, right? They're going to hold what, and I know all of a sudden it's come out in the last 24 hours that maybe he won't be the NFL MVP, but we're going to find out tonight. They held Lamar Jackson to 10 points. And can I tell you, it will be a total disservice to Lamar Jackson if Josh Allen wins that MVP tonight.
Is he the only other guy that's really in the running, do you think?
I would have thought Brock Purdy would have been maybe closer, but all of a sudden, maybe yesterday afternoon, there were rumbles of, it's not Lamar. It might be Josh Allen. If it's Josh Allen, that is awful because, again, you're talking about a guy who can put up some numbers but can't win a game. I mean, he might as well be Dak Prescott.
Or Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, again, guy can do good, but he can't win the big game. You know, I mean, as much as I hate to say it because he was a Miami guy, maybe Allen is the perfect quarterback for Buffalo because that's the kind of quarterback they're used to, right? A guy who wins a lot of games, gets them to four Super Bowls, can't win any of those. But, you know, one of those things. But, no, I think this Chiefs 49ers game has a chance to be really good. You're going to go down with the score? Prediction in the score?
Yeah, I can give you one, and it's probably going to be smaller numbers than I would have a month ago thought, because as I see these two teams coming in, and I know high-powered offenses, but, you know, I'm a defense kind of a guy anyway. I love a defense. I love a grinded-out, ground-oriented offense. You sprinkle in a pass only because you have to once in a while, and in the meantime, you run the ball. And again, call me a homer if you want to, but Kansas City wins this, and there's going to be something kind of silly goes on. They're going to win it like 29-24.
Okay. I don't mind that. Hey, W is a W, right? I honestly think this game turns into a Kansas City forces. They get it. I think Kansas City gets ahead early, forces San Francisco to deviate a little bit. I think Shanahan will start to blink because this is, you know, he's been here before, right? He was the offensive coordinator for the meltdown that was.
And that would happen with Baltimore.
The Falcons. The Baltimore thing is the exact same example. I think Kansas City wins this, and I hate to say it, like, I don't know, 38-17, something like that. I mean, I think that Kansas City just, Andy Reid has had 2 weeks, right? He is 6-1 with Patrick Mahomes in that. Patrick Mahomes, how about this, has only ever lost once in a dome/retractable stadium, and that was the Colts 2 years ago. That was the one where Sky Moore muffed like three punts, and then Chris Jones, you know, said a bad word to Matt Ryan and got the personal foul penalty. He just plays better, right? He averages like 330 passing yards in a dome stadium. I just think that the Chiefs are really comfortable with this stadium. They know how the field is. They play on it every year. I just think that you're going to see Brock Purdy get very confused with what Spagnuolo is going to throw at him. Why? Because he gets exotic anyway, and especially when he's got a quarterback in, what, like his second year. He's going to get just, I think, over the top. I really think Kansas City will have lots of fun with this one, come away with the win. But here's my outside thing. I think Christian McCaffrey throws as many touchdown passes as Brock Purdy.
Really?
I think they each throw one. I just expect San Francisco to try to pull something out because they have to.
I keep seeing replays of the Montana to Joe Valerio touchdown.
There you go.
Here lately. I don't know what's brought those back up. My really trouble, it's not a problem, it's just a little disappointing, is to listen to the 49ers team and all the complaining that I'm hearing from them. The field is too soft. We don't have the good practice facility. It's, you know, just one thing after another. I don't know if they're setting themselves up with excuses, if they're just whiny guys, or maybe it's totally based in fact and they've got a legitimate complaint. I don't know, but I'm tired of hearing all that.
The other thing I would say to that is I feel like those excuses tell me a lot more about their coaching staff and a lot more about Shanahan, because can I tell you, even if Kansas City were in the same, you know, scenario, same issues, I just don't think those guys talk like that, because Andy's just not going to allow them to say those things to the, you know, to the media. Everything you hear out of Kansas City, it's the right thing, right? You know, oh man, this 49ers team is good. They are well coached. They do this and they do that. Bosa was asked the other day, what do you see about Kansas City offensive line? He said, well, they hold a lot. I'm like, stop it, right? Like the correct answer is, man, their offense has been good. They run the ball well. They're one of, you know, but anyway.
We're I just have think to work very hard to win.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I just think it comes back to one of those things where, you know, Shanahan, I get it. He's a player's coach, but sometimes they get away from you a little too much.
I'll tell you about, you want to know winners? Want to know a winner? Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, Bobby Witt,
winner.
The Royals, I mean, all of the
Maybe
above.
Maybe the Royals are a winner.
Yeah, all of the above, right? Because, again, Bobby Witt, a really good young player, signed a, depends where you want to look, okay? It's an 11-year, $288 million. Some people are going to call it a 13-year deal because you're really buying out the 2 years of arbitration. I'm going to tell you what the real deal is. At the end of the day, it's 7 years. It's $148 million. You're going to take him all the way up to his age 30 season, because once he gets to year 8, he can opt out for 8, 9, 10, and 11, which he will, and I say will, because he should. I think the money will all change by the time you get, you know, 7, 8 years down the road. But yeah, a big deal for Bobby Witt. Got $7,777,777 as a signing bonus.
Kind of fun.
It's kind of cool. Anyway. Yeah. But no, I do. The next 2 years, he won't make any money. He like makes $1 million this year and $2 million next year. But then the money will just start to escalate over the time after that.
And the Royals, you start looking at them. Are they serious? Because I'm looking at guys, I'm looking at names they're bringing in, and they're actually names I've heard. They're actually guys who have played and have been successful and got some, you know, it's not a terrible looking roster here.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, it's exciting. And who would have thought the Monday of Super Bowl week that people in Kansas City not talking about the game as much, they were talking about this deal with Bobby Witt Jr. So, yeah, the Royals have gone out this offseason. They put some money in guys you've heard of, not just prospects that, oh, I think, you know, there'll be a day. 5 years from now, this kid will be really good. No, it's like, these guys are proven. These guys are good. Let's see what happens. They're going to make a little bit of a push. And then American League Central, it is wide open. I mean, anybody can win it any year, because I don't think there's a great team in it. So, yeah, I like what Kansas City's doing right now.
And the pitchers and catchers report in 6 days, next Wednesday. Pitchers and catchers in surprise first practice is going to be in 10 days from now.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
How about that? Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl on Sunday. And then, like, yeah, in 12 days or 15 days, you're going to be already hearing Royals baseball.
So. Real quick, let's hit college buckets. I don't know what happens to KU. Sometimes they play great. Sometimes they stun me with not playing well. They're going to have to be pretty good against Baylor, though, on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Baylor coming to the Fieldhouse, a 5 o'clock tip-off. Baylor really good, but, again, Kansas just tough to beat at the Fieldhouse.
And K-State, a huge dub for them last week, and now they've got BYU. out west on Saturday. I'm still having trouble picking up these conference teams in my head.
Yeah, and especially at 9 o'clock tip off here local time, being out in at BYU, it's going to be a tall task for Kansas State. But again, they're a team who has, you know, kind of been up and down and playing better basketball at the moment.
And lastly, Big Monday next week, Kansas at T-Tech. So there you have it. Hey, we want to thank you for having joined us here this evening. Upcoming sketch tomorrow, Valley Falls at Atchison County. Saturday, Idle. Monday, MHMA at home with Valley Falls. Tuesday, Atchison at Highland Park. Wednesday, BC at Park University. Gotta thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank, our Sports Look sponsors. Till next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.